Hallelujah. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Amen. So here we have the parable of the sower. It's real common. We've heard it a lot, particularly in Western Christianity. Here, this gospel reading from today is Jesus' explanation of the parable, but I'm going to back up to the first verse, actually third verse of that same chapter, and we'll just do those verses where he actually tells the parable. Then we'll talk about his explanation. In verse 3, "And he spoke many things to them in parable, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Now, particularly in our Western experience of Christianity, this scripture has been used to primarily teach about money. And that's not the context of this passage at all. I'm not saying you can't apply this principle to money, but money's not the focus of what Jesus is talking about here. When you go into his explanation, he says, "Hear the parable." Now, this word translated "hear" means to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. It's not just a passing hearing of something. It means to know something, like I know my spouse, to have intimate knowledge of this word. So he's saying, you don't just need to hear what's being said, you need to hear what's being said. Amen? He says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom." Now, what is the word of the kingdom? That's Jesus. That's the gospel. This entire passage is about the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? Child of God, Jesus Christ is the gospel. That we have a Father who so loved the world that he sent his Son. Victorious love is the gospel. That you're not alone is the gospel. When anyone hears the gospel and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. You know, John 10:10, "I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, the birds of the air that were eating the seed that fell on the soil where it didn't take root, that's the evil one. Those are demons. The evil one comes and snatches away what's been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. Now understand, when it talks about these different conditions, we're not talking about people, we're talking about their hearts. The condition of your heart, that ground. Yeah, this is a primarily agrarian society. They're planting. Seed time harvest is what they knew. So he's speaking to them in terms that they would understand. In order to produce an optimum harvest, you have to deal with good ground. Now, this rocky soil is only not good ground while it's rocky soil. You can remove the rocks. That person has the potential to have good soil. We're talking about hearts. The soil is the heart. That's where the seed of God's word is sown. It's not your mind. Knowing is not about your head, it's about your heart. Amen. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. How many of you know that when you hear a good word, it's easy to, yes, yes. But then that word comes up against those rocks and there's nowhere for it to take root. Now, what is that? What makes your soil rocky? Bitterness, unforgiveness, complaining. Complaining, Bishop said it, complaining is the language of unbelief, child of God. What's coming out of your mouth? Is the first thing that comes out of your mouth in the morning, "Father God, thank you so much that I see another day. That you've blessed me to experience another day in your presence." Let me tell you what, child of God, if you practice the presence of your Father, that will remove the rocks from your soil. It will prepare your ground to receive the good word of the kingdom and will produce an optimum harvest. You see, that harvest we'll talk about in a minute, the 30, 60, 100 fold, what affects that? The condition of the soil, the condition of the seed, and how it's cared for when it's planted. You understand me? If you plant, you're going to plant a tree in your yard, and you go and you stick it in a hole in the ground and you walk away and you never pay no more attention to that, that tree's going to die. It's not going to take root. It's not going to take advantage of the nutrients of the soil. Now, you plant that seed, and then you water it, and you care for it. Now, what you don't do is you don't go out there and dig it up and check on it, right? You got to leave it in the ground. But you water it. You see, sometimes the word will come to you and you won't understand it. But you receive it. And then you water it. How do you water that word? Oh, Father, let me get in your presence. Explain to me the kingdom. I don't understand the seed you've sown, but Lord, I receive it with joy. And I'm going to worship you and thank you for it. That's how you water the seed. That's the word. And the promise of God is that if you receive the seed and water the seed, it will produce a harvest in your life. Again, to the degree you want to experience harvest, you need to prepare your soil. If you're going to go plant a garden, you till that soil over. You break up the rocky ground. Child of God, that's why you have to examine your heart when you come to receive from him at the table. You want to remove any obstacle to having an optimum harvest of the word that's being planted in you. So you examine yourself. Lord, what am I holding against my brother or my sister? Why am I downcast? You understand? The condition of your soil is affected by how you tend your soil. You have to tend your heart. You can't ignore it and just expect that it's going to have the nutrients it needs to produce a harvest. You plant it, water it. How do you water the word? Let me get in your presence, Lord, and worship you. Speaking in tongues primarily is just the language of praise. It's only used in the public context as prophecy when there's an interpretation in the right context. But that's a tool you have to prepare your ground to receive from God when the seed is being planted. Let's go back up here. The one whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no firm root in himself. And it is only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. You know, Jesus made us a promise that in this world, you're going to have some tribulation. But he followed up by saying, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Child of God, you've been called to be an overcomer. But how many of you know you can't overcome unless you've got something to come over? We all got some things to come over in our life. But the promise is that you can, and he did. See, it's not about you working to overcome. It's about you resting in the one who overcame. Amen? Do you have firm root in yourself? Have you been tending the soil of your heart to receive from the Father? And the one on whom the seed was sown among thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. How many times have you received a word from your time in the scripture, or a good brother or sister shares the word of God with you? Something's been on their heart, and the Lord's speaking to you through that. And then it gets overrun by worry, doubt, unbelief. The deceitfulness of riches. Notice it doesn't say money's bad. Doesn't say that, but you got to be careful with money. Because money will make you think it has the answer, and it doesn't. Money's a tool. See, but money will turn you into a tool if you don't give it its proper place. Child of God, your father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Money is not a problem. He said he'd meet your needs according to his glorious riches. Where? In Christ Jesus. So let me extrapolate that out. Christ is your answer. All answers are summed up in him. Every yes, every amen is summed up in Christ. Where are you? You're in Christ. Baby, you got the answer already. You've been grafted into the one who is the answer. Don't let money deceive you into thinking you need something else than Jesus to accomplish what he's called you to do. You understand he spits planets into being. This whole thing spinning around us came from the word out of his mouth. The worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. He who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now we talked about that harvest ratio there, 30, 60, 100-fold. That's not a measure of your worth or your ability to produce, right? See, your heart's going to produce. It was designed to. The Father created it that way. And it's going to produce whatever you put in there. And if you're putting bitterness and hatred and worry, that's what it's going to produce in your life and in the lives of those around you. You got to remember, this journey is not about us. It's about the other. The love of God is about the other. He's saved you and grafted you into the one who spoke everything into being so that you can love like he loves the other. You know, Paul talks about in Corinthians, rightly discerning the body of Christ. I'm not rightly discerning the body of Christ if I don't see Jesus in you or you or you. And me seeing Jesus in you is not dependent on your behavior or your ability to bless me or anything you can do for me. My ability to see Jesus in you is based on the time I've spent working my soil so that when his word goes in me, it produces that harvest of his love in my life and in yours. Somebody gave me a word last week, I think. That sometimes when people see me, they just smell the love of God, that there's a fragrance of God's love and presence. Thank you, Jesus. I want to smell like God's love. I want people to look at me and see the love of God. And I repent for all the times that I haven't been that. Because, but for the grace of God, you can have any one of these types of soil at any point in your day. And how you correct your soil is by stopping, shutting your mouth, and saying, Lord, what do you see here? What do I say here? If you want to produce a harvest in your life, and this comes to money too, you know, I mean, there is truth. When you give, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will he give to you? But you understand that's not a motivation. That's not the beginning and the end of the scripture. Not a means to an end. You know what is? The love of God is your motivation, is your means to an end. And it's the love of God that will allow you to produce an optimum harvest of the Word of God for everyone you come across. So don't let the things that happen in this life, the things that people say, affect you to make rocks form in your soil. Do you understand that's the enemy? That's his design and his plan, is to put something between you and your source. Jesus is your source. And his whole game is to keep that seed from producing. Don't help him do that. God wants the very best for you. Now, we need to be open to learning what that means and not assuming we think we know what it means. Yeah, just because a car costs $100,000 doesn't make it the best. The car that runs and gets you where it needs to go is the best. That other stuff comes with headaches and bills. Anyway, God loves you. God loves you so much. I love you. And he wants to see his word produce a harvest in you and in your life. Amen. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.